Father God, we come before you and we thank you, Lord God, for worship. It's what you do in us. And it's what we can give a portion back to you. And we fall so short, Lord, but you're not measuring. You're listening and you're receiving, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we can escape time and those times of worship. You're an awesome God. Lord, we pray that you would go before us, that you would be our teacher, the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, our guide, revealing truth to the inner man. Lord, unless we receive it through your Spirit, it has no eternal value. Just words to the ears, and nothing changes. But Lord, if we're receiving it from the Spirit to the Spirit, it can be life-changing. It has eternal value. Lord, that's what we desire tonight, that you would move in this place, that you would work that in us. And Lord, we would receive all that you have for each one of us, Lord. We thank you for this book. We thank you, Lord God, for the things that you will show us and how you will unveil yourself through them. So, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can open your Bibles to the book of Daniel in chapter 1, starting in verse 8. I titled it Devotion to the Lord. The awesome thing, it's interesting, these verses 8 to the end of the chapter 21, it will cover the 3 years that they're training or they're learning. They're in the school in Babylon and receiving all the things that they need to learn for the 3 years. But then in verse 21, it tells us how long Daniel was there. It says, Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. He was there the whole time, the whole 70 years Daniel was in Babylon. Now, Babylon has always been a picture of the world. It's a picture of the world. And in Revelation, I believe it's 17 and 18, it talks about the great Babylon is fallen, the great Babylon. It's the world system. It began at the Tower of Babel. That's where Babylon really, in theory, began. And it was Nimrod that built this great tower. And they thought, we're going to build this great tower. And, you know, we're going to do it in the face of God. You know, who is God? We can do this without him. And the Lord says he came down with the Trinity from heaven. And he looked at it and he was like, I'm not impressed. And so he confused the languages. That's why we have different languages. He confused the languages and he set them all abroad. I believe the reverse of that is in Acts chapter 2 when Peter was given his sermon and everyone there heard it in their native tongue, but Peter was only speaking one language. That reversed it all. That was the beginning of the church. Good stuff. Last Sunday, when we looked at prayer and fasting, I was saying how prayer is holding on to the Lord. We don't change God's mind. He changes our heart. And when he gives us a burden, we lift it up before him. He answers that prayer. We feel good about it, but we realize that it was the burden he gave us according to Psalm 55:22. It's what he has given us. And so prayer is holding on and fasting. Jesus said, this kind only comes out through prayer and fasting. The fasting is letting go. Letting go of what? Letting go of everything. Letting go of the world. The beautiful thing about Daniel gets taken captive, had every reason to be bitter, every reason, you know, not to follow the ways of God, but just settle in. Jeremiah wrote about it. He said, listen, settle in, make yourself at home. You're going to be there a while. Daniel and his friends could have done just that, but yet they didn't. Daniel had convictions. He was devoted to the Lord. And he was going to follow the laws of God whichever way he could, as long as he was able. The four names of the Hebrew boys. Remember, it was Daniel, Hananiah, it was Zechariah. I know them. Don't tell me. All right. I'm going to cheat. So it was Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Their names mean this. Daniel means God is my judge. The Lord shows grace. Who is like God? And the Lord is my help. Now, I want you to picture the thing that God gave me in this message. Us in the world. Daniel, they were in the Holy Land. Everything was fine, but the people weren't walking with the Lord. Judgment was coming. They were forewarned by Isaiah. They were forewarned by Jeremiah. And the judgment came. When the judgment came, it didn't spare the good Christians. It didn't spare them. They were taken. But how will they react? How will they act? In the world, in the foreign land. We're pilgrims, the Bible says. This isn't home, amen? Amen. This isn't home. So we can't say that, you know, we're home. No, we're in the world. We are in the wilderness. And how will we act? And how will we react? And that's the thing that we get to learn from Daniel and his friends. I want to open with, I thought to myself, I got like three or four verses that I want to share to open with. And I don't think I've ever done that. But hey, every day's a new day. But 1 John 2:15-16, it says, do not love the world. So whatever you're loving about this world, God says, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. Ah. Killing me, Lord. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world wants your attention. It wants your eyes. It wants your ears. It wants to draw you away. That's all it does. There's nothing good about it. You watch the news today, the internet, I said it Sunday, all it did was steal our patience. And most of the time, our peace. Because instead of making life easier, which I think it can, it made it too easy and it stole our patience. And much of our peace. And instead, people get caught up in all these different things. Now we got, I don't even know. I don't follow any of these things, but I mean, I guess TikTok was sold and it's bought and now it's regular, whatever. But I'll tell you what it is. It's dangerous for the youth. It's dangerous for the youth. So many times, I think of growing up in the 70s. I know it was a long time ago. But man, there was no cell phones. I used to hitchhike all the time. I lived in Somerset. I hitchhiked to Somerset. I would hitchhike to Fall River. Nobody would even think of doing that. Pay phones. Remember? Pay phones. Yeah. Put your dime in. You could talk to somebody. Of course, you had to memorize the number. But you can even call the operator, and they would tell you the phone number. Remember, we had real operators?
That's right.
Oh, the days of old. But kids today, they don't know that. I'm in Hobby Lobby, and they showed, they got this little thing, and it's a door to open the window. And I'm like, I want to buy this and hang it somewhere, because kids will look at it and go, what the heck is that? That's how we used to open the windows. We didn't have air conditioning in our cars back then. You had the vent window. Remember that? Blow your hair all over the place. I had hair. I don't know how I got there. But the world, it's the world and the things of the world. And I think it's harder today than it was for us in the 70s. I think it's harder. But listen, the grace is the same. God's grace is the same. It's not less in the latter days. We may need more. We may need more. Listen to Romans 12:2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove that, what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's God's will. James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and this is it, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Chapter 4, verse 4 of James. He says, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Daniel didn't have these scriptures in written form. He had them in his heart. He had them in his heart to know that going to this foreign land, I'm going to be the best Christian that I can be with the power that God has given me, and I'm going to let the chips fall as they will. And we're no different in the world today. God comes and rescues our soul. We sang about it. He delivered us. He saved us. He pulled us from the pit of hell. And now he wants us to walk with him. And how do we do it? Devotion to the Lord. It's simple. It's not hard. And as the world comes along and they want to draw us away, Joseph was a great example when temptation came and Potiphar's wife wanted him and said, oh, lie with me, Joseph, lie with. And Joseph was like, nope, I won't go over well with my boss. And he ran and she grabbed him by his outer garment and he left it there and ran. And that's what convicted him. And he ended up in jail. Should have just grabbed it from her and ran. But it's to flee from sin. That's the key. Daniel was sitting in the midst of it, and he thought to himself, I'm not compromising. I'm not compromising. And I tell you, I really believe, I know, that God has us in this book for a reason. I think, I'm not a prophet. Actually, I am, but I don't foretell, I forthtell. I tell what's in the book, amen. And that's a prophet. But the prophets of old, they had a word from God and they spoke it. I think times get harder. You know, it looks like, oh, there's peace in the Middle East. Oh, there's, pump the brakes. Don't believe everything you see. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe anything from the news. No, I mean it. Just your eyes on Jesus. Devotion to the Lord. I tell you, that's our saving grace. That's our saving grace. Let's look at verse 8. It says, but Daniel made up his mind. That's where it begins, right? The renewing of our mind. Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now, God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, I am afraid of my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you will make me forfeit my head to the king. And listen, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar here. You know, the end of the book, Nebuchadnezzar gets saved. It looks good. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, we'll probably see him in heaven. But well, I think we will. But listen, he was ruthless. He was ruthless, and I'll show you how ruthless he was in a minute. Verse 11, it says, But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He says, Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat. Vegetables is grains and everything that goes along with it. So it's not just, you know, he's eating carrots and celery. But he said, for the days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the presence of the youths who are eating the king's choice food and deal with your servants according to what you see. Now, Daniel's not putting demands on him. Daniel's simply saying, listen, we don't want to eat the king's food. Well, why not? I think the king's food, I had lamb for supper. It was awesome. I mean, what are they going to eat? I'm thinking they're eating choice steaks, right? Well, no, because some of them steaks may have been cooked with blood in it. That's against the Levitical law. Some of them may be unclean animals. That makes him defiled. That makes him unclean. Some of them, listen, the fact that Gentiles prepared it and served it makes it unclean. And so everything about it is unclean. When the Jews, the Hebrews, when they had their wine and they made their wine, most of the time it would be 3 or 6 pots to 1. So it would be 6 pot water, 1 pot wine. That's grape juice. That's weak grape juice, if you ask me. But it's grape juice. And that's the way they would drink it. Well, guess what? Nebuchadnezzar was not doing 3 pots to 1, 2 pots to 1, or 1 to 1. It was just wine. And so Daniel was like, I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And so they said, test us in this. We'll go 10 days. After 10 days, you examine us. We'll, you know, check us out, see where we're at, and we'll see how that goes. But listen, it began, David made up his mind. In the margin, it said, set upon his heart. He started in his heart, I'm not going to be defiled. I'm not going to. And I'm going to do what I need to do. And the only thing that he could do was forsake the food that was coming. Now listen, if we read the end of the chapter, they did it for 3 years. For all 3 years. It also implied fellowship with Babylonian culture system for them to eat these meals. It's interesting that the sin of the eating things in the Mosaic law and the dietary laws that God said these are forbidden, that you cannot eat, that began in the garden. God gave Adam and Eve one stipulation. Don't eat from this tree. Don't eat of the fruit of this tree. And they did. And what happened? They were defiled. They were defiled forevermore. So all the food in Babylon was considered unclean. Daniel's desire was to please God in all he did. He was courageous, determined, and he was obedient. But self-priorities, listen, compromise always seems the easier way. We're living in a time now where things are legal, and they weren't legal before. Listen, beer wasn't legal way back in the day. But the problem is Christians, they get caught up in it, and it's legal. So why can't I do it? Because there's certain things that I don't care if it's legal or not, it's not good for you. It's not good. Things that alter your mind is not good for you. I know people that go to churches, and they do mushrooms because it gives them some kind of alternative mindset, and they think they feel closer to God. True story. If that's what it takes for you to feel closer to God, I don't know what God you're looking to get close to. But it's not my God, because that's not the way he works. It's not the way he works. They were separated from their family, from their home. It was easy for them to compromise. Who's going to know? Who's going to know? Maybe we've all had that thought. Nobody will know if I just do it once. There's no such thing as just doing it once. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I got to share this. I'll give you 2 seconds. All right, 3.5. Second Corinthians 6. Everybody's there? Yeah, everybody? Okay. Verse 16. It says, "For what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them, walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now here's the key, verse 17. "Therefore, come out from among the midst and be separate." Be separate, says the Lord. "Do not touch what is unclean." This is New Testament. "Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Again, Daniel doesn't have the New Testament. He didn't have it in written form. We have it. But I think he had it on his heart. He had it in his heart for sure. Now, there was risk in Daniel asking to the commander. There was a risk of the commander turning around and telling Nebuchadnezzar, these guys are asking for this, and they would have been annihilated right then and there. There was a risk for the commander not obeying Nebuchadnezzar and giving them what they actually required, which was the vegetarian diet, eating the vegetables. Nebuchadnezzar, listen, was capable of great cruelty. Remember, he murdered the sons of Zedekiah. He was the last king in Judah. He murdered his sons in front of him, in front of Zedekiah. And then he gouged his eyes out. So the last thing Zedekiah remembers that he's seen was the death of his kids. How cruel is that? Jeremiah talks about how he roasted some of the leaders in Judah. They did some nasty things, and he didn't hold back. Listen to this. According to Romans 12, 1 and 2, there's conformers. They're people whose lives are controlled by the pressure from without. That's the world. But he says that Romans says we ought to be transformed. So there's transformers. They are the people whose lives are controlled by the power from within. Who's controlling us? The powers without want you. The power within resists. That's Galatians 5:17. That's the spirit and the flesh raging war. And there's a battle. We submit to one of them. If you submit to the inner man, that's the God side. Listen, you have victory. Even if you're doing the wrong, you have victory. But when we submit to the things of the world and the pressures from around us, we don't have victory. We don't have victory. Daniel and his three friends were transformers. Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, the inner man, for from it flows the springs of life. When they had chosen between God's word and the king's food, they chose the word of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live by bread alone, but what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What are we taking in the world? What are we taking from the world? You know, there's a term in computers when it first came out, because you used to have to feed the information in. It said garbage in, garbage out. If you're feeding it with all good information, you get good information out. The more you're in the Word of God, the more you're seeking the face of God, the more you're walking and resting at the feet of the Lord, listen, the more victory you're going to experience. But the more we get caught up in the things of the world, it's amazing. Everyone, it's the end time. It's the end time. I mean, regular newscasts are talking about end times. It's like, oh, the rapture's coming. Oh, the judgment's coming. The tribulation's coming. Something's coming, I can tell you that. Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's closer now than he was before. Verse 14. So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. For 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better. Who's surprised? And they were fatter. The commentaries say that fatter doesn't mean they were fat. I mean, 10 days, they weren't gaining weight in 10 days. It's simply they looked healthier. They looked healthier than the other youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. How long? For the rest of the time. For 3 years, they kept eating what they were eating, and they liked it, and they not only survived, they thrived. They thrived. Ashpenaz, I had this right when I was reading it earlier. Honestly, I got it right every time. I must be nervous. All right, Ashpenaz, that's it. I knew I had it. Listen, it takes time, all right? It takes a little time. Give me some grace, will you? You know I'm from Fall River, right? Come on. All right. Ashpenaz, that was the commander. He was especially friendly and kind to them and recognized that this was the work of the Lord. It had to be. Listen, Joseph had a similar experience when he was in prison in Genesis 39:21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave favor in the sight of the chief jailer. What was he in jail for? Potiphar's wife. He defiled the wife. He didn't touch the wife, but that's what he was accused of, falsely accused. They threw him in prison and the jailer took favor to him. I like Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Romans 12:18. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Listen, you know how you do that? You walk with God. You realize that everything is by his hand. You don't get frazzled. You don't get excited. You don't get pushed around. And when you do, you realize they're pushing Jesus, not you. Because your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where you are. That's where your life is. It's a great principle here in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. All what things? He just got done saying right before that, take no thought of what you wear, take no thought of what you eat, take no thought of what you say. He said, all these things will be added unto you. To do what? To seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't worry about everything else. Listen, the principle laid down in Colossians 4:5, it says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. No wonder God called David greatly beloved in Daniel 9:23 and 10:11, for he was very much like the beloved son, Jesus. You don't see anything negative about Daniel in this book. None of his sins are mentioned. It's interesting. David We got all his sins, right? We keep it in our pocket because just in case we sin and we go, well, David, look at what David did. You know, our David card. No, we don't. But David, we know his sins. Listen, Paul said even he struggled at times. I mean, he went through, right? Romans 7. You look at Peter, we certainly know Peter, denier. He was the denier. And we say that. But show me where Joseph sinned in the Bible. I'm not saying he was sinless. I'm saying his sin wasn't recorded. He was a righteous man. Joseph is, I believe, the best picture of typology of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It's, if you have time, read Genesis, the story of Joseph, it'll blow you away. I mean, from the beginning until the end, his life is a picture of Jesus Christ. But I think so is Daniel. So is Daniel. And you know, he was devoted to the Lord. He purposed not to defile himself. Only one has lived on this earth and not defiled. And that's Jesus Christ. He came to a sinful world. Baptized into Jordan, where they were casting all their sins out. It was the cesspool of Israel at that time, and Jesus gets baptized in it to relate himself and to identify himself with them, and yet not defiled. He touched the leper, not defiled. Daniel's decision was spiritual. It acted all out physically with a diet. It was spiritual. It was spiritual. So Ashpenaz, he decided he was going to let them keep this diet. And the change in their appearance, the young men, the results, you know what the results was? Grace. It was God's grace. It was God's grace. It wasn't about the food. It was about their obedience. It was about their devotion. It was about who he was and who he trusted. And us in this world, it's no different. Listen, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. My life is not my own. I was crucified with Christ 2,000 years ago. Therefore, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ. And the more that sinks in, the more I live in that mindset and I walk in that power, if you will, that promise, the more free I am. The more free I am, the less likely I am to get caught up in the things of the world. It won't happen. Last verses, 17 to 21. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel, he had special powers. He even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Now listen, notice something. They didn't ask for this. They didn't pray for it. They didn't say, all right, God, if we don't defile ourselves with the food, then this is what we want. They didn't do that. Solomon was asked by God, I will give you anything you want. What do you want? Solomon could have had anything. He had everything. But you know what he asked for? Wisdom to lead the people of God. And because he asked for wisdom, God gave him everything. Which was his downfall, by the way. Careful what you ask for. But the wisdom was good. He just didn't use the wisdom for all the other things that God had given him. Verse 18, it says, then at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. So now this 3 years later, they're going before the king. They had to be knees knocking, and I'm sure they were scared. It says, the king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. At that, as for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the musicians, the conjurers, those who were all in his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Daniel was given a gift. Daniel was given the gift. That doesn't mean every Christian has the gift. It means Daniel has the gift. I know people that, the Daniel fast. Have you ever heard of the Daniel fast? There's been books written about it. Oh, this is what you should do, and God's going to give you wisdom, and he's going to give you this. If God wants to give you that, he'll give you that. I never asked for the gift to preach. You can tell, right? I never asked. I never asked for any of it. I just want Jesus. And I say it all the time. This is the road God has paved for me to know him. Whatever your road is, stay on it. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on him. That's all I did. What's the goal, Jesus? What's the goal? To know him? But don't you know? Yeah, I know him, but I want to know more. How much more? More. How much more than more? Way more. I want to keep knowing him. I want to keep drawing near him. God skilled to learn the material discernment to understand it, the wisdom to know how to apply it and relate it to God's truth. And so God gave him this. Now you can imagine in chapter 3 when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is they're called in chapter 3, and they decide not to bow down to the statue, how that looked. No, they were the choice. They were the cream of the crop. They were closest to the king. How could they not? Can't wait to get there. Well, I can wait to get there. I can. Listen, Moses was leaned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. But you know, Moses got to the place where he didn't want to be an Egyptian. He would rather suffer the consequences with the Hebrews and called himself a Hebrew. Daniel and his three companions, they were thrust in a situation that they didn't ask for, and they were placed in a world that they never thought they'd be a part of. And the only thing they had was the Christ in them, was their faith, was their faith. There was no more temple. They weren't going to temple to worship. It was destroyed. It was destroyed. A few years after they got there, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed, took down the whole temple. What was left? You can take everything from us, but you can't take our freedom. You can come against us with everything, but the Christ in us is still more powerful. It's still more powerful. And regardless of how we come to an end in our own journey, God has foreordained it, and he will be glorified. He began a work, he completes the work. We are a piece of work, and God's always working in our lives, and he never finishes until he takes us home. Amen. Let me close with this. The overriding lesson of chapter 1 is that the God of the Bible is active in the affairs of his people. That's not just, you know, the four Hebrew boys, that's you and I. That's each one of us. God is active in our lives right now. He's always working in your life. He's always showing you or giving you a new revelation or showing you something of himself. He gave Jehoiakim, he gave him into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. It was an act of judgment. And yet he had favor in the eyes of their captives by giving them gifts of superior worth. God had Esther and Mordecai in Persia. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer in Susa. So God placed them where they were and enabled them to accomplish his will. God placed you where you are to enable you to accomplish his will. No different. no different. The same God who called you and equipped you is able to make you continue until you complete the task that he has assigned for you. That may be one day's worth of whatever he's called you to. It may be a whole life. Don't get caught up in it. Get caught up in Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass." So be devoted to the Lord, and the things of the world will grow strangely dim. Amen? Amen. Our Father God, we do thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you, God, that three Hebrew boys that chose not to eat defiled food could give us so much, Lord. Lord, we're grateful that you didn't take us from the world, but you deliver us in the world. Lord, you have strengthened us, empowered us. You are guiding us. And Lord God, you will be glorified in us. Lord, we thank you, God, that even though we are in the world, we're not of the world. We are not of this land. This is not home. We are pilgrims. We're passing through. Lord, we thank you, God, that as we do pass through, we know that it is you that guides us. You are the good shepherd. You take us to the green pastures. Sometimes we walk in the shadow of the valley of death, Lord, but we will feel no evil. We will fear no evil. For you comfort us. You guide us. You empower us. And we love you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.